Today at 1 on Hometown Heroes, a little different twist to our weekly visit with veterans. We'll tell you about a great cause to support as we focus on a few famous friends of the veteran.
Stockton Airfield in the San Joaquin Valley. San Joaquin, that's Spanish for don't fly so low, you're splashing grape juice in my eyes.
That was on the radio 70 years ago, and if you recognize that voice, you won't want to miss Hometown Heroes today at 1 on News Talk 580 and FM 105.9, brought to you by Humana. Proud to honor our hometown heroes.
As Americans, we enjoy many freedoms. Among them are the freedom to vote, to worship, and to speak our mind. These freedoms have long been protected by the men and women of our armed forces and their families that supported them. For more than 15 years, Humana has made a commitment to our veteran community. That commitment continues today with the introduction of the Humana Preventive Plus package for veterans and their families. In developing this product, we listened to more than 10,000 veterans. With their input and our 50 years of expertise in the healthcare industry, we developed an affordable dental plan that also includes discounts on vision, hearing, retail prescription drugs, and more. We are proud to offer this plan to our veterans and their families right here in Fresno and throughout the country. We are also proud to announce that Humana is now the 2012 exclusive healthcare partner for the MVETS. Find out more about the Humana Preventive Plus package for veterans. Call our Fresno office, 559-221-2522, 559-221-2522.
News Talk 580 KMJ presents Hometown Heroes, honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom.
Hometown Heroes is brought to you by Humana. Humana is proud to honor our hometown heroes.
Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes with you every Saturday here on KMJ. You can hear us on the AM side at 580, on the FM, half of your dial at 105.9, or even online at kmjnow.com. And we're throwing a curveball at you this week. Normally, we listen to a single World War II veteran talk about his experiences way back when. We want to make sure those stories are not forgotten. And we're going to talk to some people today who share those sentiments and, in fact, want to do something about it, want to make sure that veterans today are taken care of the way they should be. There's a great benefit coming up Friday in Clovis for the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation, and we're going to hear about that. In fact, you're going to hear some voices that I think are very familiar to you of a couple men who did a whole lot for our military during World War II and long after that. But first, let me bring in Chuck Carson. Chuck, you are behind this event coming up. It's not just one event, it's two on Friday in Clovis. Tell me what's going on and how Bob Hope and Bing Crosby have something to do with it.
Well, what we're going to do is we're tying into the Blossom Trail, and it's going to be Bob and Bing's Road to the Blossom Trail, and the opening day is Friday, February 1st, and of course, that was the day we decided to schedule two shows, one at 2 and one at 7:30. And this is all for supporting, the money is raised for the Support Foundation for the new Veterans Home, which is now opening. The first veterans arrive in October. We want to be sure there's money in the till to take care of any extra needs that they may have that are not going to be fulfilled by the state. They're going to get their meals, they're going to get their room, but if they needed socks or they needed something special, that's what we're going to be there for with the money from the foundation.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the saga, this is something that Central California and some great veterans advocates around here, Charlie Waters' name certainly comes to mind, have been fighting for years and years. The governor's most recent budget finally provides funds to open the home, that it's fully constructed. It just needs the people to live there and the people to work there. They had a job fair the other day, and the place was packed with people wanting to work there. And I can tell you, having visited veterans' homes in other states and in our state, the veterans' home up in Yountville, which was the first in California, what a great place for veterans to go to know that they can live out the rest of their days there if they so choose, to have other veterans around who understand what it's like to serve, and to just have a really good time together. It's a really neat idea, and now we have it here in Central California in Fresno. So the Support Foundation has been around before the home even opened.
The Support Foundation is the reason there is a home in Fresno. Charlie Waters is part of that. They've been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been plugging Joe Stasikonis and Bob Small and I think Gordon Pickett from Clovis, of course.
Right.
Dan Payne. There are so many names. I'm probably going to General Ron Markarian. They were there in the committee that formed initially and said, we need a veterans home to serve this part of California. They fought. They overcame every obstacle. And with Charlie Waters at the forefront, they finally made it. And the home Now, as you said, there's a job fair, and the first veterans come in October.
And if you're interested, if you're a veteran and you're interested in applying for a chance to live there, you can go online with the VA and do that. And, you know, it occurs to me that a lot of the veterans that we've heard on this show, so many of the guys that I've interviewed aren't with us anymore, but those who are and are going strong, they might be some of the people who end up living here, and veterans of younger generations certainly as well. So it's a great thing for the Valley to have this. And the support foundation isn't done now that the home is here. There's still work to do, and you kind of hit on it a moment ago. The state budget only goes so far.
Right, and the little amenities that these guys are going to, and women, I mean, you know, veterans are both sexes.
Yeah.
But whatever they need, there will be an office on the grounds that is going to be manned by the Support Foundation. That'll be the connector, and when any of the residents need something, they can go to the office and then put in their request, and the money that we raise will be used to pay for the little goodies that we hope will make their lives better.
So that's the cause we're talking about, and if anything comes to mind further that you want to share on that, Chuck, feel free. But the event that's raising money for it is something you can go to and I think have a really great time. And I think a lot of people, certainly the audience for this show, remembers all the great Bob and Bing road shows, the movies, the road to Singapore, the road to wherever. And who's playing Dorothy L'Amour, though? Where are you getting that character?
Oddly enough, not yet, but we're doing shows in Southern California, and I do have a Dorothy L'Amour in the show named Cassie Miller. So hopefully we'll get her to do some of the traveling shows.
All right. See, I thought that was just a ridiculous question, and you were actually a step ahead of me. So tell us, Chuck, what is Bob and Bing, the Road to the Blossom Trail? We know it's for a good cause. We know it's coming up Friday in Clovis, a 2 o'clock show, a 7:30 show at the Great Clovis Veterans Memorial District building there. Well, and they weren't just making movies, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. They were visiting the troops.
Oh, they were doing it all. And they you know, they were there for World War II. They were there for Korea and the Vietnam. So a lot of these people today may not remember the days of radio, but they'll remember these two wonderful guys who did as much as they could to support our military.
No question about it. And so many veterans, I've interviewed hundreds of veterans over the years, and so many of them talk about those USO shows, whether it was Bob Hope or some other Hollywood star that would come through, and how much it meant to them, how much it boosted the morale. So those of you who pay attention know that Bob Hope and Bing Crosby are no longer with us, but they will be with you at this show in Clovis on Friday. And we're going to prove that now. I believe we have Mr. Crosby on the line. How you doing today, Bing?
Very well.
You been singing lately?
Always, always singing.
Are you looking forward to the Road to the Blossom Trail? I didn't know if Bing Crosby had ever been to the Blossom Trail before.
Well, he's going to be there. We're going to come up and do two shows there. I'm looking forward to seeing all the folks up there.
Tell us what Bob Hope is like in real life. Is he who he pretends to be on film and on the radio?
Bob Hope's a great guy. The only civilian that was given an honorary veterans title by the Congress of the United States. Great guy. My buddy.
How would he sound singing White Christmas or Mele Kalikimaka?
Yeah, there's two good ones there.
Both of which, one of which, we're not doing White Christmas in this particular, but we're doing all of the other great hits of Bing's. We just figured White Christmas, we have to save it for the holidays.
Well, that makes sense. No doubt about it. And Chuck, why don't you tell our listeners who are saying, wait a second, what's going on here? This is getting kind of spooky. How are they talking to Bing Crosby? Tell us who really is on the other end of our phone line here.
This is a wonderful actor named Bob Posh, who has been doing a tribute to Bing Crosby, I guess, since 2000 and way back. Right, Bob?
1978.
That goes way before me. Anyhow, the nice thing about it is he looks like Bing Crosby. He sings like Bing Crosby. And, in fact, he's endorsed by Bing's widow, Catherine. And the two of them have performed at different venues around the world. So you're getting as close to the real thing as you can when you come and see Mr. Posh as the Binger.
Well, and I've got to ask you, Mr. Posh, if in all these shows where you guys are Bob and Bing and the guy playing Bing is named Bob, does it ever get confusing?
Well, we're two characters in and out, both.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get a little confusing.
And what do you get out of this, going around and portraying a person who does hold such a spot of reverence in so many people's hearts? What do you feel like you're getting out of it?
Well, I've been doing this tribute for almost 35 years now. I started in when my father was in a retirement home, and I've done hundreds of retirement homes and veterans' hospitals doing this tribute to Bing. And I'm a veteran myself. I was in Korea for 16 months, so I have a special place in my heart for the veterans.
Outstanding. So you were in the Army in Korea?
In the Army in Korea, shortly after the Korean War. I spent 16 months there.
Wow. Well, thank you for serving. And thank you for what you're doing for all these veterans and shows like this. I'm sure, since you're endorsed by Bing Crosby's widow, I'm sure you know as much about the man as anybody, and certainly you know plenty about Bob Hope, too. But in terms of Mr. Crosby, not just in World War II but beyond, what is it about him and his legacy that you appreciate and that you want to portray and keep alive?
Well, we have an international club magazine throughout the world, and people have been collecting his memorabilia and records for 60, 70 years. Some of these people are in their 80s now and their 90s even, and they totally enjoy it. I think the voice is what it's all about. When Bing sang, everybody... relaxed. It was a very laid-back type of singing. He was the first crooner, as they say, the first gentleman that could do phrasing. And, of course, the people after him, Sinatra, Como, and Tony Bennett, and all those followed Bing's lead.
No doubt. And I imagine in all the years that you've been doing this, and you've done shows here in the Valley and all over the place.
As far away as Australia, yes.
I haven't heard Bing Crosby with a down-under accent, but that would be quite interesting.
That's right.
I imagine that you get a fair amount of people on both ends of the spectrum. You probably have some people say, boy, you sound just like him, you look just like him, that was incredible. What do you do when you have a doubter, someone who says, nah, you're not Bing Crosby?
Well, I did a show one time, and two ladies were in the audience, and they made a $5 bet that I didn't actually sing. They thought I was lip-syncing, so I sang a little bit of "Turururururu, Turururururu," and the lady said, "Pay up."
I guess that's quite a sincere compliment in actuality, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And to do the shows with Catherine have been absolutely fabulous. I mean, she's a great lady. She's recovering from a car accident at the moment, but she is doing much better. But I've actually totally enjoyed this because I learned a lot about being the man, not just the celebrity, because she was married to him for over 30 years.
Anything that from that education that you've received that you think our listeners would be interested to hear that maybe they haven't heard in the mainstream and the casual knowledge of Bing Crosby, the person?
Well, Bing had 41 number one hits, 368 charted hits, and recorded over 2,000 songs. There is no one that has that record in the music industry today. The Elvis, the Frank Sinatras, the Michael Jacksons, and all of the people. He set the pace. And, of course, White Christmas still remains today the number one single-selling record of all time. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records. So I think that speaks for itself.
Well, and we are in Central California, which, you know, here in the Central Valley, we're a little ways away from Monterey, but around those parts, Bing Crosby is known not as much for movies or singing, but for golf. How's your golf game?
Yes, I've done several tribute shows up there at Pebble Beach, and of course, Bing started the first golf tournament to raise funds for different charities and things, and that was started way back in 1937 at Rancho Santa Fe. And, of course, he's done that for all these years, and it's continued on. And it's great because it helps a lot of these students with their education. So Bing had the foresight in this tournament not to just make it a celebrity tournament, but to make sure that certain funds went to help these younger persons.
I got to remind you, too, that Bob Posh's wife, Lenny, helps with the shows, and she and Bob wrote a sketch that we have in our show called Shanks for the Memories with Bob and Bing. And, of course, golf is the whole premise for it. But they did a wonderful job, and you'll get to see that if you come to our show.
And the show is Friday in Clovis, two performances. If you don't have to go to work, you might want to get on that 2 o'clock matinee. Otherwise, 7:30, a separate show there at the Clovis Veterans Memorial District Theater. And Chuck, how can our listeners go about getting those tickets?
Well, the two ways. One, of course, is you can go to the Clovis Veterans Memorial District office, and if you get to the office, you're going to find the chance that you can buy tickets there. You can go to Simonian's General Store, and they have tickets. The Sanger Chamber of Commerce has tickets. Mm-hmm. Or the easiest way, if you want to order by phone and you want to put your credit card in, and they'll have your tickets at will call for you, you call 797-8155. 797-8155. That's the number to order tickets. And if there's no one there in person, you'll get a message saying, leave your number, we'll call you back, and they get back to you, so you get your tickets. The wonderful thing about the theater, it's beautiful. It's got 350 wonderful seats. It's an intimate house. That's why we're doing two shows. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you sit, you're going to enjoy it.
And you're going to be supporting a great cause in the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation.
Yes.
Getting back to Mr. Crosby, and we have Bob Posh, a.k.a. Bing, on the line here from his home in Arizona. I understand, as I look up the history of Bing Crosby in World War II, and so many Hollywood stars were of the age and the situation where they could go and serve in uniform. Here he was, a 37-year-old guy and married with kids, and It sounds to me like he really took the initiative. It wasn't that someone asked him, but it was his idea to get out there and go do something for the troops. Is that what you've discovered, Bob?
Well, absolutely. Him and Bob did many war bond drives, different golf tournaments across, and of course, Bing went to Europe and spent time there with the troops, and he was in England also. So they were very much supporting the war effort at that time.
And you know, having served in the armed forces yourself, you know how valuable a little entertainment and a little escape from the reality of the military and certainly combat can be. In doing all these shows all over the world, have you had veterans come up to you and tell you that it reminded them of something they experienced during the war or took them back to something?
Oh, yes. Especially in the veterans' hospitals, I have been able to sing to some veterans, and many of them have injuries, that are indescribable. And when you sing White Christmas, especially, you see tears come to their eyes, and they remember that long ago time when they were fighting in the Second World War. So it brings back haunting memories, is maybe the right word, but it was tears of joy because they do remember Bing and Bob and what they did for the troops with the USO shows.
Well, and it occurs to me that while I have you on the line, I should ask you about your counterpart, not just Bob Hope, as I asked you as Bing Crosby a few moments ago about your compatriot, but Lynn Roberts, the gentleman who portrays Bob Hope. How good is he at pulling off that character and a few others to boot?
Well, he's done several USO shows around the country, so he must be pulling it off quite well. And he has a lot of experience also. He loves his Bob Hope character, and so he's very happy in what he does. And when I moved out here from Michigan, we happened to hit it off together, and so it's worked out just perfect for both of us. And he couldn't ask for a nicer gentleman.
What are some of these Bing Crosby artifacts that folks are going to see you have a little fun with on Friday?
Yes, I've been collection since I started my tribute in 1978, and have traded with many other collections around the world. And as some of these people have passed on, the collection just becomes larger. I have a Bing Crosby room in my home, and I have a lot of personal items that Catherine gave me, and other personal items from Bing's life also. So it's been quite a thrill to be able to do this and to see the reaction of the people over the years, and that's why I've continued to do it. I've always said that it was a hobby that I started, and it got out of hand.
I guess so. Do you ever take requests from veterans who want you to sing a particular Bing Crosby hit?
Yes, I have musical background in that, and sometimes I can sing without musical background, depending on what they request. But Bing did 2,000 songs, so I haven't quite got them all nailed down yet.
You slacker! What are you doing? I'm just going off the conversations I've had with veterans over the years. It seems like for instance, I'll be seeing you is something that people might want to hear from time to time. Am I right?
I'll be seeing you. in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces. All day through, I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
That one?
I guess that's the one. With no accompaniment. And we didn't hear the applause in the house because we're not to Friday yet. Well, I'm glad we're able to give people a little taste of what they can expect on Friday. And I guess I should ask you too, Bob, how long do you plan to keep doing this? And what motivates you to continue going around the country and performing the way you do?
Well, you always get a reaction from the people, and they do remember the people that are, you know, in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even some younger people. They're rediscovering Bing's music, and so it just I will do it as long as I can, as long as the voice holds up. We'll just keep right on crooning.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you're doing and for taking time to share a little bit of that with us today. Hopefully you've given people an extra reason to show up on Friday in Clovis. Is there anything else you think we ought to know?
No, I think that's it. I just come see the show. We'll see everybody after the show, and that's about it, except I might say bye.
Well, I can't think of a better way to do it. Bob Posh, thank you so much, and look forward to Friday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
That is Bob Posh, a.k.a. Bing Crosby. You can catch him in action Friday in Clovis. If you missed that information about the shows, it's all on the Hometown Heroes blog at kmjnow.com. So is the entire clip of what we're going to hear when we come back. Bob Hope performing for the troops right here in our San Joaquin Valley during World War II. We'll take that trip back in time and also hear from the man portraying Bob Hope in Bob and Bing, Road to the Blossom Trail. A different twist today. Hope you're enjoying Hometown Heroes on KMJ. After a down-to-the-wire Bulldog game, there's nothing quite like throwing yourself onto a comfortable bed. Paul Leffler here. You know, I heard my buddy Ray Ocanto talking about his mattress on the radio, and I thought, wait just a second. Wait till I tell you about the one my wife and I found at Sleep Retreat. Sleep Retreat is Fresno's only premium bedding store on El Paso, right next to Fashion Furniture. I heard Ray use the word comfort, but I can't imagine any bed being more comfortable than the Tempur-Pedic Cloud Lux we're sleeping on. It's soft where you want it to be soft, firm where you want it to be firm, and if you really want the long and short of it, it doesn't matter if your legs are long or short. My wife Tanya's about 5'1 and petite. I'm 6'3 and not so petite. But that oh-so-comfortable Tempur-Pedic mattress fits us both like a glove. I guess I should have seen it coming. After all, Tempur-Pedic invented memory foam. Tempur-Pedic is the most recommended sleep surface in America. And nobody in Central California knows Tempur-Pedic better than the fine folks at Sleep Retreat on El Paso next to Fashion Furniture.
Hey, this is Paul Leffler, and if you've been listening to KMJ for any length of time, you've probably heard me wax poetic about my hometown of Las Banas at one point or another. Every city has its secrets, and I'm going to fill you in on one my old neighbors have been keeping for 40 years. No matter where you live in the valley, you probably go through Las Banas every once in a while, so next time you're cruising down the 152, pull into Ming's Restaurant. The owner, Paul Cito, has been showing off his skills in the kitchen there since 1968. He has perfected the best Mongolian beef this side of the Great Wall. Delicate rice noodles underneath tender slices of beef with a flavor I can't even put into words. Whether you prefer mild, medium, or spicy, you'll be coming back for more. Ming's is closed on Mondays, so don't say I didn't warn you. But stop in any other day and try the pork wonton soup, Chinese chicken salad, or get everyone's attention with the sizzling chicken and vegetables. The possibilities are endless, but they all have one thing in common. Ming's time-tested commitment to taking your taste buds on a thrill ride. Ming's Restaurant, 435 West Pacheco Boulevard in Las Banas.
On the front line of freedom, you're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler on News Talk 580 KMJ.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Today we're talking about Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, certainly friends to the veterans during World War II and all the years since then as their long lives lasted. And that legacy is being kept alive today by a couple of tremendous actors who you can see on Friday in Clovis. Bob and Bing, The Road to the Blossom Trail, a 2 o'clock matinee and a 7:30 evening show at the Clovis Veterans Memorial District Theater. Chuck Carson is here to talk about it. Chuck himself is a Marine Corps veteran. We heard from Bob Posh, who served in the Army and now goes around as Bing Crosby. sounds like a lot of fun to see these guys in action. And, Chuck, I get the sense that you get a lot out of this also, especially knowing that it supports the Central California Veterans Home.
Yeah, it's a wonderful cause. And, you know, I became a member of the foundation. And so just think that everything we can do to support the group and the guys that I told you about that I've met, the Charlie Waters, the Dan Paynes, the Joe Stasikonis, Al Verrett, so many of these gentlemen. You see it in the way that they go about their business. You can see it in their eyes, their dedication, their what they want to do, and they just belong to a generation that says, we've got to take care of our veterans. And that's how we're asking the public to come back. The way you can help us is to make sure that we have a pretty decent house at these two shows and that you support it by coming to the show. There will be tickets available at the door. You don't want to go running out. Don't worry about it. We set aside tickets for door sales.
Mm-hmm. So this is this coming Friday, February the 1st, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 7:30 at night there in Clovis at the Veterans Memorial District Theater. And I mentioned, Chuck, that you served in the Marine Corps.
Yes.
Do you subscribe to that adage, once a Marine, always a Marine?
Oh, yeah. You're never an ex-Marine. Yeah, that's the whole story. Yeah, you're a Marine, and you're a Marine for life. And I think if anyone can experience boot camp, you'll know why you're a Marine for life. So it's just that camaraderie and that call to duty. And, you know, the Marine Corps hymn still stares. I get teary-eyed for both the hymn and the Star-Spangled Banner. So there's no way you can get around it.
In your own time in the Marine Corps, because most of the time people are listening to this show, they're hearing a veteran just kind of tell us all his experiences leading up to serving in World War II and why it was important to him. For you, you weren't in World War II. You came along after that. But spending the time you did in the 1950s in the Marine Corps, when you look back now, and you've had a very interesting life, you've been in radio, doing some filmmaking now, what do you see the impact of the Marine Corps being on the person you are today?
It made me a man. I went to college for a year, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I thought I wanted to be an actor, and then I didn't know, and so I got through the first year at the University of Connecticut, and my buddy and I, you know, he came to me and said, I don't know what I want to do. And I said, neither do I. He said, well, let's join the Marine Corps. And I had an uncle who had served in Guadalcanal, and I said, you know, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Well, it was at the time till we stepped off the train at Beaufort, South Carolina, and wound up at Parris Island. But all in all, I am very happy that I did it, and it made a big difference in my life and made me want to take chances and do things and not worry about anything but going ahead and making it happen.
I get the sense, too, that having experienced what you did in the Marine Corps probably helped you understand and respect even more the others who had served.
Without a doubt. You know, the guys that were in the trenches and the guys that got malaria and that fought in the jungles and it's unbelievable. And today, the young men that are running over to Afghanistan and they were in Iraq, they are going through much more than we ever did. And they're facing a whole different enemy. Mm-hmm. And we want to be there and make sure that the Veterans Home is there when they come back. If they need it, we'll have it for them.
And that's the beauty of the Veterans Home. And I get back to, you know, the original California Veterans Home in Yountville. Here's something that was put there over 100 years ago,
right,
with a much different generation of veterans. And here today, it is serving the veterans who are still with us today. And that is obviously the mission of the Central California Veterans Home in Fresno, to serve veterans for generations to come. It is a great thing. And, you know, there will be plenty of opportunities, too. A lot of you out there are looking for ways you can volunteer and serve, and there will be some of those opportunities when the Central California Veterans Home opens. One way you can support the cause is by going to this show Friday, 2 or 7:30 in Clovis, and it's Bob and Bing, the Road to the Blossom Trail. We heard from Bing. Now, as far as the gentleman who portrays Bob Hope, Chuck, is he any good? Does he know what he's doing?
You know, he's got two things going for him. He looks like Hope and he sounds like Hope, so I guess he's got something happening.
Well, let's put that to the test. Bob Hope, are you there?
Yes, thanks for the memory. You bet I am. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, hold that thought, because we're going to take the time machine back to 1943. And for you at home, I have this information posted on the Hometown Heroes blog at kmjnow.com. The Library of Congress actually has a great webpage on Bob Hope, specifically in relation to his USO shows and his NBC radio show. You know, he wanted to support the troops so much
that of the 144 radio shows he did throughout World War II, only 9 originated from NBC's studios. The rest were all on location, performing live for the troops. His first show was at March Field in Riverside, and he had a great way of appealing to that local audience wherever he ended up. Here's a great example from right here in our San Joaquin Valley, May 25th, 1943. Here's what you would have heard if you were listening nearly 70 years ago.
The Bob Hope Show. Colonna, Vera Vague, and Skinny Ennis
and the orchestra. And now here he is, the star of the show, Bob Hope. Allah, Allah, how do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting the Stockton Airfield Hope. Well, here we are at the Stockton Airfield in the San Joaquin Valley. San Joaquin, that's Spanish for don't fly so low, you're splashing grape juice in my eyes. We came up here in a Greyhound bus. It must have been a Greyhound. It chased rabbits all the way. Boy, we had some gas. It was worse than that wartime stuff. The bus driver really had to coax that bus along. In fact, he got out every 2 blocks and fed a dog biscuit. What gas? We didn't have a ping in the engine. We'd go up a hill and it would play the bells of St. Mary. I don't know where they get that stuff they're using for gas now, but I looked in the engine and a fish stuck his head out of the carburetor and said, "Hey, bud, how do I get back to the Sacramento River?" I put 3 vitamin pills in my gas tank the other day. I don't know if it helped or not, but 10 minutes later, I was 11,000 feet over Pomona in a dogfight with a P-38. But tonight we're broadcasting for the Air Cadets of Stockton. Air Cadet, that's an aviator with a backseat driver. I guess we got it there, didn't we? Yes, sir, some of these cadets and OLTs here are only 17 years old. 17, that's a wonderful age, Crosby's horses tell me. And you should see these cadets. Are they young and innocent? Oh, just as... Please, let's follow the script, fellas. Just to give you an idea, one eager beaver was out with a girl. When she started to pucker, he ran out and bought her a lipstick. Are you going to believe the script or yourself? Stockton is 40 miles from Sacramento, as the crow used to fly. He doesn't fly anymore. There's so many cadets in the air, he's afraid to take off. And I found out why they call it Stockton here. On Saturday night, these boys go into town and take stock in anything that's under a ton. This field is in the center of the California Champagne Belt. It's surrounded by wineries. Wineries. In fact, the Army had to put one wine press out of business to hold the morning fog down to 3.2. Wine press, that's the grapes, what a tactical offer is to cadets. And they got a fast system out here of making wine out of the grapes. Girls go along the rows and do the picking while the soldiers follow right behind and do the squeezing.
So that was the genuine article, Bob Hope, on the radio back in 1943. He was out in Stockton. His first USO show came in Alaska in 1942. In the summer of 44, he logged 30,000 miles in the South Pacific, performing 150 different shows for our servicemen. And he kept up that kind of commitment, really, for the rest of his life. For example, he spent 9 Christmases in Vietnam with the troops.
He is, as you heard mentioned earlier, the only person Congress has ever named an honorary veteran. So it's some pretty big shoes to fill Friday in Clovis. Let's meet the man who has that honor, Lynn Roberts. Lynn, how long you been portraying Bob Hope?
Well, let's see. I've been doing Bob around 10 years or so, but I've been doing other impersonations such as Jack Benny and Red Skelton and Jimmy Durante forever. And then about 10 years ago, some agents, one in Hollywood, one in Chicago, prevailed upon me to see if I could do Bob Hope. And at first I said, nobody does Hope. And then they kept it up, and so I said, well, I'll give it a try, and worked on it for about a year. And then came up with what I think is a pretty decent representation that Bob would be proud of if he could see me do it.
Well, hopefully folks are going to come see you do that coming up here on Friday in Clovis. So it sounds like you took on the Bob Hope character with a little apprehension. Has the response that you've gotten made you feel better about it?
Oh, yeah, and I've got a stack of letters every time I perform. I get letters that'll say things like, I never got to see Bob Hope live, but now I feel I have. Things from veterans that'll say, I felt like I was right back in Guam or Iwo Jima or Seoul, Korea or somewhere like that. It really brings back the memories, especially when I talk to the veterans, even the Vietnam veterans now. They love to come up and tell me their Bob Hope stories. They transfer all their emotion that they had for Bob Hope to me, and the next thing I know, they might be hugging me or shedding a tear and calling me Bob, like they really think I'm him.
That's something. Is there one instance of a piece of feedback you got or something that someone said to you that either gives you the biggest chuckle now or just warms your heart the most when you think about it?
Well, first of all, the biggest laugh, I'll give you that one first. I was recently in Westbury, New York, and we had about 2,000 people in the audience, and the show just went over dynamite. And we had a Martha Ray and a Doris Day and Andrew's sisters on the show with us. And after the show, of course, I always go out in the lobby. Chuck comes out in the lobby, and we thank people for coming, and they like to tell us their stories. Well, this one lady came up to me, and she says, oh, she just raved about it. And says, oh, you're just so wonderful, and all your impersonations and your Bob Hope is just absolutely wonderful. She says, have you been doing this a long time? And I said, yeah, quite a long time. And she says, well, what's your name? Your real name? And I said, Lynn Roberts. She waved her hand in the air and walked away and said, never heard of you. It broke me up. It was just such a weird double take, you know.
Tell them about Bob's nieces.
Oh, well, that was one of the highlights. Yeah, Chuck and I did the show in Marion, Ohio. We were just there a few months ago, but we did the show a year previously, too. And after the show, the people were lined up to talk to me, and these two ladies were kind of tittering and real giggly and excited. And when they got up to me, they started hugging me, and they handed me this Bob Hope icon cartoon hat with his picture of him with his ski nose on it. And I said, did you bring that to me? And they said, yes, that's for you. And they said, and we're Bob's nieces. They made me feel real good because they were raving about the reproduction that I did of their Uncle Bob. That was one of the real highlights, I guess.
And again, you guys are calling this Bob and Bing the Road to the Blossom Trail, and it's in the vein of the great, you know, Road to Wherever movies that Bing and Bob did over the years. But for Bob Hope, here's a guy who is entertaining the troops in World War II and continues to do that for another half century. So there wasn't just a Bob Hope of a certain vintage. There were, you know, a lot of different ages of Bob Hope. How many different eras of Bob Hope entertainment do people get at one of your shows?
Well, mainly Chuck and I have created this as a World War II radio show, a 1940s radio show. So it mainly hits in the 1940s, but still there are things in the show that would bleed over into the Korean era, and occasionally there will be a few things that we throw in that would hit the Vietnam War, too.
And, you know, we talked to Bob Posh about Bing Crosby, and he's become quite a student of Bing Crosby history. I know you haven't been doing Bob as long as some of the other characters that you've portrayed, but in learning about his life, his commitment to the troops, just the kind of person he was, what stands out for you? What do you appreciate the most?
Well, that really has been my highlight of all of the impersonations that I do of people is the one I do of Bob, because it really warms my heart because I've learned to feel what the veterans and families of veterans felt for Bob and how much they respected and appreciated everything that he did by entertaining the troops, you know, all over the world. It's really made me even appreciate more what the veterans have done for this country. I can remember sitting on the chicken house roof with my grandfather the day that Pearl Harbor was born. That gives away my age, doesn't it? I was just practically a baby, but I can still remember that impact that had on the family. And then when I was drafted to go to Vietnam, they couldn't take me a couple of physical things. So now I can really appreciate what these guys did sacrifice.
Amen. That's what we talk about on this show every week. We're looking at a different aspect of that time in our history today, and we're not done yet. This coming Friday, February 1st, is when you can get behind the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation and experience Bob and Bing, Road to the Blossom Trail. Depending on which show you catch, the 2 o'clock or the 7:30, you might want to grab lunch or dinner at one of those great restaurants right around the corner in Old Town Clovis, like the one I'm going to tell you about in a moment. Keep it right here for the rest of Hometown Heroes on KMJ. Hey, Bulldog fans, Paul Leffler here, coming to you not as the voice of the dogs, but as a husband and father of two. Ever have a hard time finding a restaurant that's family-friendly, won't set you back a week's pay, and has the kind of food that makes you want to keep coming back? I think I found it. And no, it's not one of those chains. It's one of a kind. Luna's Pizzeria, an Italian restaurant on Pulaski Avenue in Old Town Clovis. The Liberta family's been serving up great, authentic Italian food in the heart of cowboy country for more than 40 years. The pizza dough is made from scratch daily, and so is the bread. You won't forget the bread. I'm a sucker for that bread and the meatballs and the ravioli. And hey, did I say family friendly? How do you top a kid's menu with nothing over $3.95, drink included? I'm not making that up. See for yourself at lunasclovis.com. And while you're there, check out the family meal deals. That's lunasclovis.com or 299-4141. Tell them I sent you. And if you really want to, bring me back some bread. Luna's Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant. You'll love it at Luna's. A high school where 98% of graduating seniors go to college, where success on the SAT and advanced placement or AP classes outpaces almost every other school in the valley. Home to a student newspaper that hauls in national awards on an annual basis. Its sports teams capture section championships. Have you figured it out yet? The school is Fresno Christian, and it's not just a high school. Fresno Christian offers a complete K-12 curriculum delivered by supremely qualified, experienced teachers who connect with their students personally, intellectually, and spiritually. Go to FresnoChristian.com to learn more about the value of a truly Christ-centered education. And if you want to see for yourself, call 299-1695 to schedule a campus visit. Whether it's kindergarten, high school, or anywhere in between, you'll get a genuine feel for what Fresno Christian's commitment to excellence could mean for your student. That number again, 559-299-1695. Fresno Christian Schools, education with a higher purpose.
Saipan, Finian, and Guam campaigns to the Fleet Hospital on the edge of a coconut grove somewhere in the South Pacific is Bob Hope and his UFO troop. Ladies and gentlemen, these wounded men have been through many bitter campaigns. What they're going to face now is ridiculous. Here he is, Bob Hope. Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Mosquito Network Hope.
The one and only Bob Hope. Not only was he named an honorary veteran, if you've ever visited the L.A. National Cemetery, you know the Veterans Chapel there is named for Bob Hope, too. The closest you can get to Bob Hope now is what you'll find in Clovis this Friday, Bob and Bing, Road to the Blossom Trail. We've heard the actors that portray Hope and Crosby. In fact, Lynn Roberts, a.k.a. Bob Hope, is still with us on the line. Chuck Carson is here in studio. Chuck, when people come to a show and they see these actors like Lynn portraying Bob and Bing, what do you see when you're looking out at that audience? What do you see people getting out of it?
Oh, I see them enjoying. You can see the smiles, you can hear the laughter, and sometimes you can see the tears. And that, to me, is a great thrill. What I enjoy about it is I'm kind of the in-between. I play the staff announcer on stage, the Don Wilson, if you will, of the whole nine yards. And after the show, people will come up and they go to Bob and they go to Bing and they come over and they say, "You were good too." You know, it's kind of, I don't know what to say to the guy, but we want to just let him know that he was there.
Well, you didn't screw it up then. That's good.
No, that's it. And what I do enjoy is when we play some of the jingles from the old radio, like uh-huh. Pepsi Cola or Chiquita Banana. You see them singing the jingles. The older people remember these jingles, and they're singing right along. Or in the show, we do some commercials. I do some live copy from that period. One of them is for Carter's Little Liver Pills, and that always gets a real roar when we talk about those. The other thing is the cigarette commercials saying how good it is for you to smoke, because 9 out of 10 doctors said, you know, Camels are the best.
Yeah, that goes over real well these days. And I don't want to steal any of your thunder or spoil the show on Friday, whether you go to the 2 o'clock or 7:30 performance there in Clovis, but something tells me you have the Carter's Little Liver Pills ad memorized.
No, I don't have it all memorized. I can tell you that, you know, if you have discomfort in your digestive tract, the natural juices are being found and sought out by Carter's Little Liver Pills. So buy a pack today, only 25 cents at your local drugstore.
Just like it sounded all those years ago. We're talking to Chuck Carson and Lynn Roberts. They're both part of this great show coming up Friday in Clovis, Bob and Bing, Road to the Blossom Trail. And I want to ask you, Lynn, about some of the other characters that folks are going to see at this show. But maybe you can give us a little taste. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. Can you give us a little taste of the Bob Hope that they're going to see and hear on Friday?
Of course, I'll be singing the Thanks for the Memories. I don't want to give away any of the lines, but one of the characters that they'll also see me do in the show is Jack Benny, and I'll be bringing my violin and playing my theme song, Love in Bloom. And, of course, we got Jimmy the Ratty, Ha-Cha-Cha, with Ink-a-Dink-a-Doo. And let's see, who else? Oh, thank you very much. This is Red Skelton, and may I just say thank you very much. Good night, and may God bless.
Now, let me take you back to Durante there, because you sound like him, and I'm sure people will get an even more extended taste of that. But how do you pull off looking like Jimmy Durante?
I'm glad you asked. Maybe Chuck prompted you on that. But I actually have a rubber prosthetic nose that was made from a plaster cast of Jimmy's actual nose. Oh, golly, maybe 15 years ago I was asking a makeup man over in Hollywood if he could make me a Jimmy Durante nose, and he said, well, I'll do better than that. He was in a film where he was doing makeup on Jimmy, and they made a cast of Jimmy's nose. And he went back in the archives and in a box someplace where it had been stashed away and found the mold and casted this actual Jimmy Durante nose for me to put on. So I always feel like I'm getting rather authentic when I put that on.
I just want to break in. The reason that we do the commercials, et cetera, it gives him a chance to change personas. So he doesn't wear the same outfit when he comes out as Durante as he does when he comes out as Benny, when he comes out as Hope. So this leads to a lot of times we'll go to the lobby after the show, and they'll talk to Bob and they'll talk to Bing, and they come up to me and they said, aren't the actors who do Jack Benny and Red Skelton and Jimmy Durante coming out?
Yeah, that's the biggest validation. Where are the other guys, though?
I guess you're doing something right there. And you're obviously the closest thing they can find to the real Bob Hope, the real Jack Benny, the real Jimmy Durante. And in Durante's case, they actually will see Jimmy Durante's nose.
That's right.
I doubt if there's anywhere else in the world they can go to experience that. Certainly not on Friday when you'll be in Clovis. Lynn, what do you get out of doing this? Obviously, you're a performer, and you enjoy performing, you enjoy entertaining people. But when it comes to these characters in particular, the World War II generation, who I'm guessing a lot of your audience is made up of people of that generation or their children, what is it that keeps you going back and doing more shows? What drives you?
Well, I think you've probably heard many entertainers say it's the applause and the laughter that really makes it worthwhile. I said before, I've been doing this for an awfully long time. I started out at age 14 as a saxophone player in my dad's band, and then I worked with a lot of the name bands around the country, the Jimmy Dorsey Band, the Wayne King Orchestra,
Russ Carlyle's orchestra, Ted Weems, and even Guy Lombardo. I played with him a few times. And then I developed my own musical variety show with comedy where I played 12 instruments. And so I've been an entertainer on my own, but there's a different type of feeling when you're coming out and people are looking at you and admiring you with the same flow that they used to admire these really superstars that I'm portraying. It just gives you a whole different feeling and a little bit of what it must have been like for them. There's one story about Bob Hope when he was in the Orient, and he was there with his writers, and they'd walk out on the street, and nobody would recognize him, of course. And he said to his writers, he says, "What is it like to just be a nobody?" He said to his writers, he says, "Nobody knows you're paying attention to you." And they said, "Oh, well, you know, it's just the way it is." Well, a little bit later, they're walking down the street in Singapore, I think it was, and a bunch of teenage girls came running towards them, and they were waving some kind of a coupon or something, and Bob thought they were after his autograph, and he kind of stepped forward with a big smile, and they ran right by him. And then one of his writers says, "Well, Bob, now you know what it feels like." And he turned around to the writers and he says, "Oh, my God, how do you stand it?" Because he did have quite an ego and really enjoyed being recognized, as I'm sure any superstar does.
Well, and it occurs to me, you know, I think people on the surface, when they think of someone who is portraying an entertainer of the past, and there are Elvis impersonators everywhere, certainly. And I think there's maybe an attitude some people have that you're riding the coattails or you're ripping somebody off. But it sounds to me that what you're doing is honoring that person as much as anything. And it sounds like that's the spirit in which you do it, that when you get the applause, sure, that's for you and what you did, but maybe even more so for the person you're portraying.
Well, I tell a lot of people, I say, after every show, I thank God and Bob Hope. That I'm still able to be performing, you know, it's really a wonderful thing.
I imagine not all your shows have a cause attached to them the way this one does. Knowing that you're coming here and that the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation is going to benefit from your efforts, what does that mean to you?
That's a very good feeling. In fact, when I was in Clovis with Chuck, maybe it was 2 years ago, we actually went over to the VA hospital and we actually went in and did about 15 or 20 minutes for the folks that wouldn't be able to come to the show. That's always gives you a nice warm feeling.
Yeah, it's hard to take much for granted after you do something like that and see what people have gone through for our country, huh?
That sure is the truth.
Well, sure. Lynn, thanks for giving us a little taste of Mr. Hope and Mr. Benny and Mr. Durante. I'm not leaving any characters out, am I?
Mr. Skelton.
Oh, Red Skelton.
Red Skelton, yeah. And, of course, Red not only will be there, but Junior the Mean Little Kid and Clem Cadiddlehopper will be there along with Red.
You don't do any Slim Pickens, do you?
Slim Pickens? No, I don't.
Well, he was from these parts. That's the reason.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely.
Kingsburg.
Well, yeah.
I remember him from some of the westerns, yeah.
You could add him to your repertoire, I'm sure, with your myriad talents there.
Well, I'll have to look into that.
Well, thank you so much for taking time for us, and I hope you have a great turnout here on Friday.
Thank you, Paul. I hope the people will come up and say hi afterwards, too.
All right, and while we still have Chuck Carson here to talk about the show, and I hope people, now that they've heard you on the radio talking about it, Chuck, and that they maybe will have a little better salutation for you than you were okay, too, after the show.
That's all I need. I mean, you know, as he said, I produce and direct the show, and I have a part in it. And for me, you want to know the real pleasure, is I loved the 40s. I wasn't old enough to enjoy the 40s. So I get a chance to relive all of the people I watched in the movies, and I work with them. I work with Bob Hope and Jack Benny and Jimmy Durante and Red Skelton, Bing Crosby. What more can you ask for?
Well, and since we have maybe a few minutes left in the show here, and I asked you briefly about your experience in the Marine Corps, I guess maybe people would like to hear a little bit of that connection that you just mentioned and your experience in showbiz and why you are still playing that out and giving the local community a chance to taste that experience through a show like this.
Well, it was just a natural fit. When you take and talk about the veterans and the Veterans Home and the Support Foundation, and then you bring in the names of Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, and in fact, the other three gentlemen as well, all worked at the Hollywood Canteen. They were all part of the big USO tribute shows throughout the both World War II in Korea and Vietnam. So this is one of the reasons we felt it was going to be perfect. What we need now to complete the picture is to have your audience come get the tickets, sit in the seats, and enjoy a wonderful show.
And I don't want to, you know, read more into it than there is there, but you talk about how much affinity you had for the 1940s, and certainly the people who listen to the show every week hear a lot about the 1940s, mostly in a military context,
right,
but other ways as well. And the thing that's always striking to me for the veterans, they talk about how united our country was during that time period. Not only did we have 16 million Americans in uniform, but we had all the folks back home doing whatever they could for the war effort, including the entertainers, which
exactly.
This show brings to light.
Right.
In doing a show like this, in reminding people of what it was like, do you feel like you're encouraging people to have that kind of mentality today, or am I putting a little too much onto what you're doing?
No, you're not. You get the spirit, you get the feeling. People in the lobby afterwards, there's just a different feel. There's a much more patriotic fervor of people, and they're just, you know, saying how great it was and how wonderful it was and how great these guys are. And then they refer to, you know, thank God we had the Marines and the Army and the Navy and the Coast Guard and the Merchant Marine and all of these people. And so without those, and then we all have to give thanks to Rosie the Riveter, because she really was a part of the war effort and will never be forgotten. In fact, somewhere in the Bay Area, they've just opened a museum to Rosie the Riveter.
Well, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you think people ought to know about Bob and Bing, the Road to the Blossom Trail, and the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation?
No, I just realized that, you know, in 1940, there was no Blossom Trail, but you have to extend. But it's poetic license that we're taking. So other than that, you're going to have a grand experience, and you're going to just sit back, relax, and let your mind drift back to the 1940s, even if you were born in the 1980s. Humor is humor, and the great thing about this show is funny, and these guys have some genuinely funny moments. And when you hear Crosby sing some of his great hits, and we've done a little pullout from some of the road shows, like The Road to Morocco and a few others, so you're going to get the whole nine yards.
A little different twist this week on Hometown Heroes, but entertainers played a big role in America's morale during World War II. And if you weren't alive to experience it then, or even if you were, you can get a taste of it Friday in Clovis. Before we close out, Chuck, tell us again the ways that folks can get tickets for those two shows on Friday.
Number one, you can go to the Clovis Veterans Memorial Building in Clovis. They have them at the office. You can go to Simonian's General Store. They have them there. You can go to the Sanger Chamber of Commerce. They have them there. Or you can call our phone number, 797-8155, and order tickets by phone. You can pay with your credit card, and they will be at will call when you get to the theater. Or simply wait, come down, and pick up your tickets at the door, because we will have tickets available. As I said, we put them aside.
All right, so there you have it. No excuse for you now. Friday, you have all the details, 2 o'clock or 7:30 there in Clovis. And most importantly, you are supporting a great cause in the Central California Veterans Home Support Foundation. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for telling us about it. Thank you for your own service to our country and for what you're doing with this show. It sounds like you enjoy it.
I love it, but I want to thank you for all you do, because the one thing I do want you to know is every one of the meetings they have at the Support Foundation, people say, did you hear Paul's show on Saturday? Did you hear what Paul? So you're doing a service, and you're keeping the memories alive. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Privilege is all mine. And on that note, next week we'll have another World War II veteran for you. In fact, he was a frogman, and not where you'd expect him to be in World War II. He was with an organization called SOCO, and you probably never heard about that, but I'm going to tell you about it. Well, he's going to tell us about it next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Get out there to Clovis on Friday, and if you need that information, you can also find it on the Hometown Heroes blog at kmjnow.com. And we'll be back next Saturday with another edition of Hometown Heroes on KMJ.